Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Hello, hello, and welcome, everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am here with Larry and with Rick Sterling over there across from me with Dr. Don on the phone. And we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule. Oh, and also down by my feet is Molly, who's crying, my cat, who's crying for some food or treats. Thank you for joining us today. Today is June 5, 2021. Today will be the 1263rd episode that we will have recorded, and we encourage you to go to our archives, especially starting on August 14 and 15 of this year, to sort of catch up with what is going on. Well, August last year. The last time it was August 14 and 15. And there you can listen to a lot of good stuff, and it's well worth your time going through that. We also have two websites. Our primary website is spiritoftruthministry.net. That's our primary website. I will again post that on, it is posted, by the way, on our Facebook page, group page. And I will put that in the chat room. We also have a secondary website, our original website at spiritoftruthministry.net/SCM. And there you will find writing by all of us, one way or the other. There is, in the episode information, the all of the 1,262 so far that we have. And again, you can go there for that information. Father in heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, today is an auspicious day because we woke up and are still alive to be of service to you, to the King of the Kingdom, Jesus Christ, and to the kingdom of heaven. I pray, Father, that we will learn the truth today a little bit more so that we can draw closer to the unity that Jesus prayed for in John 17. Thank you, Father, for this and all the blessings of this life. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
And good morning. Hang on here. I got to get my cursor over there. Okay, come on. Good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning. It's a gorgeous morning.
Are you in Redlands or are you in the canyon?
I'm in the canyon. We're into June. Time is flying.
Time is flying.
It's flying fast.
So, good morning, Rick.
So, Dennis.
Uh-oh.
You were thanking God for the good day because we woke up, but I think you're still half asleep.
Well, you know, there have been extenuating circumstances recently with my wife having to prepare for a procedure that actually didn't work. And so we had to stay up and she had to get up and drink stuff and get all that stuff done, and it was very frustrating.
So you're saying between your wife
and
your
the cat.
Animals.
Right, exactly. Last 2 days have been hell. So there.
Yeah, Dennis, it's been so long since Dennis has had a good night's sleep, he wouldn't even know what that was anymore.
I think I could say the same.
A good night's sleep. Well, you know what I'm here for is to wake you up.
Well, I guess you have to sleep then to get woke up.
Well, you're in the perfect state of mind.
I'm ready.
And by the way, just apropos of nothing, I basically wrote that for the episode info about waking up. And it's,
there's a difference between waking up and being woke.
Oh, heavens, I would absolutely agree with that one.
Revelation chapter 13, starting with verse, let's say 11. Then I saw a second beast. Beast had the body of a leopard, mouth like a lion, feet like a bear, 7 heads, 10 horns, 10 crowns. That beast came out of the sea. This beast, the second beast, it emerged from the ground, or the earth. It had 2 horns like the lamb, and it spoke like the dragon. The second beast was servant to the first beast and extended its authority everywhere, making the world, all its people, worship the first beast, which had the fatal wound and had been healed. And it worked great miracles, even to calling down fire from the heavens onto the earth while people watched. Sounds like maybe a laser beam. Through these miracles, which it was allowed to do on behalf of the first beast, it was able to win over the people of the world and persuade them to put up a statue in honor of the beast that had been wounded by the sword and still lived. It was allowed to breathe life into this statue so that the statue of the beast was able to speak and to have anyone who refused to worship the statue of the beast put to death. He compelled everyone, great and small and great, rich and poor, slave and citizen, to be branded on the right hand or the forehead, and made it illegal for anyone to buy or sell anything unless he had been branded with the name of the beast or with the number of his name. There's need shrewdness here. If anyone is clever enough, he may interpret the number of the beast. It is the number of a man, the number 666. Everybody knows that.
Can I ask the question? Can I please? Can I?
I don't know. Can you? Or may you?
Well, that's what I used to hear when I was a teacher. And it's can. It's obviously may. If this took place, is this going to take place? Or has the time for it already come and gone for it to take place?
What that video would say, the timeline that it was on has been turned.
What are we talking about here?
Viable.
What are we talking about here? We're reading about reality. Right? This is prophecy. God said it was going to happen. And by God, it's going to happen. Right?
That's what people believe.
That's what the people in Nineveh believed. And it didn't happen. Why didn't it happen?
And by the way, this is what you talked about yesterday.
Do we have 100% compliance with this and what we see going on today? 100% has to be 100%.
Well, we don't even see much of it at all.
It's going on in the shadows.
Yes.
Why? Because those who were going to be the participants with the beast realize they have not just run out of time, they are out of time. Time being reality. Reality being what is happening. I read yesterday from verse 3 of this same chapter, chapter 13 of Revelation, I saw that one of the heads seemed to have had a fatal wound, but that the deadly injury was healed, and after that, the whole world had marveled and followed the beast. They prostrated themselves in front of the dragon because he had given the beast his authority. And they prostrated themselves in front of the beast saying, who can compare with the beast? How could anybody defeat him? Look around you, my friends. What do you see? Do you see the nations, the people of the nations of the world all bowing down to the globalist empire? I don't even see a globalist empire. I see the globalists in desperation trying to enforce their empire, but they are being resisted. Not just resisted, thwarted at every maneuver that they try to make. For instance, and I talked yesterday a little bit about this, I opened it up and said that I would be talking more about it, two events that happened in the past, in the recent past. One was involves a container ship going through the Suez Canal. Now, keep in mind my example of a person in a taxi on their way to the airport to get their flight. And they are held up by a huge traffic snarl that makes them too late arriving at the airport. Their flight has already departed. That plane crashes before it reaches its destination, and everyone on board is killed. The person who was late to the airport just had a reality change. And all of us have, from any moment, the possibility of a reality change. People who leave their apartment, walk down the street to the corner store, held up by a gunman and murdered. Their reality changed when they decided to walk to the store at that very time. High school graduates, they have that's a point in time in their life where they decide whether they're going to go on to college or whether they're going to go to work and get a job. If they decide to go to college, then they're faced with a decision of what they want to major in, profession, do they want to do. And depending upon which profession they choose will determine their reality pretty much for the rest of their life. A decision of when to retire. Or if the profession you chose is not to your liking, to make a change. All of these choices affect your reality. And sometimes reality can be affected by others causing you to change your future reality. So reality change is not an impossibility. In fact, it is a certainty. If that container ship had made it through the Suez Canal to its destination, according to sources, there would be a different reality for the world right now. The plan was to start Armageddon. That's what I have heard from reliable sources. What do we know about Armageddon? Well, let's read about it. We can read about it just a few chapters over in Revelation chapter 16, and we're going to read the sixth bowl of wrath, which we'll find in verse 12. The sixth angel, now, by the way, it's important for us to place, to place this in time, in its proper time. First bowl of wrath is poured out after the two witnesses have been killed and resurrected. The first bowl of wrath is poured out and affects only those who have the mark of the beast. The bowls of wrath themselves are punitive judgments. What I mean by that is the people who had the mark of the beast had made that decision of their own free will. They had been told what would happen if they chose the mark of the beast, and they still chose it. The bowls of wrath affect only those who chose the mark of the beast. They don't affect anybody else. Keep that in mind. The sixth angel emptied his bowl over the great river Euphrates. All the water dried up so that a way was made for the kings from the east to come in. Then, from the jaws of the dragon and the beast and false prophet, I saw three foul spirits come. They looked like frogs, and in fact were demon spirits, able to work miracles, going out to all the kings of the world to call them together for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. This is how it will be. And I love this little parenthetical verse here. This is how it will be. I shall come like a thief. Happy the man who has stayed awake and has not taken off clothes, so that he does not go out naked and expose his shame. They called the kings to get called in Hebrew Armageddon. Now there's a lot of information there. I went through part of it before I read the text, in that I was placing it in its proper sequence. So in other words, it is the second to the last event described in Revelation, concluding the Great Tribulation. So what you need beforehand is from Matthew 24, 42 to 51, you need to have this faithful and wise servant feeding his fellow servants, giving them their food at the proper time. The master of that servant comes while he is feeding his fellow servant. And depending upon whether the faithful and wise enough servant is either feeding his fellow servants or beating his previously fellow servants and eating and drinking with the drunkards, determines a very significant reality. Do you notice that? That's why I went through what determines our reality for the future. If the faithful and wise enough bondservant had remained faithful and wise and feeding his fellow bondservants, his master will come. And I find it very significant that that little parenthetical admonishment is in the sixth bowl of wrath. The sixth bowl of wrath talks about this great war fought, all nations gathered in the Middle East, Megiddo, in the Israel Valley, a valley that runs, as I understand it, that runs from the western shore of the Sea of Galilee to almost to or to the coast of the Mediterranean. I know that Dr. Don would know that for certain. And, but whether it does or not, that is not really significant to what we are going over. The container ship that ran aground in the Suez Canal did not make it out into the Mediterranean, out through past Gibraltar and up to, I believe it was scheduled to dock in the Netherlands. I'm not absolutely 100% sure, but that it was scheduled to dock there in the Northern Europe area. Now, there's all kinds of speculations and questions about what caused this huge container ship to run aground. I am certain that it was done on purpose. Probably wasn't done by the captain or crew. The autopilot on the ship was probably from a satellite. However it happened, it did run aground. That's not a question. Now, I've heard all kinds of things about what was on that ship. The one that really makes the most sense to me is two very significant elements in globalist takeover the world. Tactical nuclear weapons and a weather modification system. Both of which were offloaded while it was aground. Why? Because the other side, and interesting, the other side, I know the Russians were involved, and I think the Turks were involved. I'm not sure about that. I think it was. They were. You see, the whole world isn't working toward a globalist, oligarchical, fascist, communist state. There are still some countries that are fighting and working toward nationalism, nationalist. In other words, a world of nations, sovereign nations. They were the ones responsible for taking advantage of the thing that happened, and just so happened they had the right equipment there. The plan, as I understand it, was when the ship reached its destination, these tactical nukes were going to be used to start what?
World War III.
Armageddon. And what would have happened if they were able to do that? What? Which would have benefited the most by a war between the Caucasian nations and the Middle Eastern nations, and maybe even the African nations? Which country would have benefited the most?
I am thinking China.
And you are thinking correctly. And isn't it interesting, in the sixth bowl of wrath, which country would best be described by the kings in the east?
That would be China.
And you're right again.
Two in a row. Let's not try for three.
But you see, the little parenthetical verse there says it all. It says it all. In fact, that little verse determines or allows us to determine which reality we'll be on. That little verse has to apply to one individual. Now, why do I say it has to apply to one individual? Well, it has to apply to an individual, and that an individual be one person. You go, how can all this come down to one person? Well, you remember the faithful and wise enough Bonzo. He's going to start doing something. According to what we read, he's going to start doing something. He's going to start doing something because he's awake. If he's not awake, in other words, his master is going to return during his time while he's alive. Now, if he's asleep, his master returns, he'll burrow through the wall of his house. And then everything is pretty much lost at that point in time because there's nobody working. In fact, as I see it, that individual spoken of in Matthew 24:42-51, is the promised Elijah, that Elijah-type individual that the Son of God said was coming. He told his disciples, and you find this in Matthew 17, I tell you the truth, Elijah is coming, and he will see that everything is put back as it should be. That individual's also talked about in Daniel. And you go, Daniel? I don't know that Daniel talks about an individual. Really? Where? Well, let's look. Daniel 2. And I guess we can read both these. The one from the where Daniel is describing, not explaining, but describing the dream. And we can start verse 11. You've had a vision, O king. This is what you saw. A statue, a great statue of extreme brightness. All these statues and images. Didn't we just read about an image or a statue in Revelation 13? Stood before you, terrible to see. The head of the statue was pure gold. The chest and arms were of silver. Its belly and thighs of bronze. The legs of iron. And the feet, part iron, part earthenware. While you were gazing, a stone broke away, untouched by any hand.
By the way, this is Daniel 2:34, something like that.
I read from like 31. All right. I want you to focus on this stone. What is said about this stone is very important to understand. In particular, because this stone seems to be the key to the whole thing. The stone breaks itself away. Not assisted by God to break away. The stone breaks itself away.
Is there a difference between not assisted by God and God makes it possible?
In other words, yes. In other words, this is what I'm saying. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, he contacted Moses, right? Moses had no clue that anything was about to happen. He was just living his life, shepherding the sheep of his father-in-law, raising his family, and everything was fine. And then he sees this bush that, it appeared to be on fire. But it wasn't on fire. And, you know, the story goes up there and God says, this is what I want you to do. Go do it. And Moses says, no, you got the wrong person. He's not the first one that said that. I can go through a whole list of people that say they're not worthy. You know what? If God doesn't know you're worthy, he isn't going to ask you.
So,
right?
And my comment for that would be, get over yourself.
So, this stone. Now, I could go through the whole account of Israel coming out of Egypt. I'm not going to. Look at Moses as the stone. Did God separate the stone in Moses' case?
Yes.
Yes. Now, I'm not saying that that was a stone. I'm just saying any hand. Moses wasn't preparing for the Exodus before he saw the burning bush. And he really didn't want to have anything to do with the Exodus after he saw the burning bush and talked to God. Here, Daniel is telling Nebuchadnezzar, in your dream, you saw a stone break away from a mountain without any assistance, without any direct involvement.
Without any direct intervention.
So I'm just going to give you kind of from my own experience, and I am not implying anything other than I'm making a comparison. I started doing this because I started studying 24/7. Well, I slept in there and I was working full time, but when I wasn't sleeping or working, I was studying. I told you that my son was asked by his his fourth grade teacher to draw a picture of what their dad liked to do. Most of the pictures were a stick figure on a couch in front of a TV. My son drew his stick figure sitting at a chair reading the Bible. You know, looking back on it, I can see how important that was, but my son, maybe I should have spent more time with him, but everything is good now. I'm very proud of my son. He just doesn't believe there's God and he doesn't believe there's a devil, but he'll come around. So if it turns out that I am possibly, hypothetically, the Elijah who is to come, that would certainly match with the prophecy. Let's go to the interpretation, which we find in 42, verse 42 of Daniel 2. The feet were part iron and part earthenware. The kingdom will be partly strong and partly weak. And just as you saw the iron and the clay of the earthenware mixed together, so the two will be mixed together in the seed of man. I just saw a post where a person said that their best friend lives in Belgium, and that now in Belgium, the immigrants outnumber the native Belgians. Do you think we're in the days of the kings of the feet? I mean, you can see what's happening here in the United States is an onrush of those who are of a different nationality that are flooding into the country. And it's happened all over the world, purposefully by the globalists, because mixed nations are easier to control than a nation of nationalists. But they will not hold together any more than iron will blend with earthenware. Is that true? Do you see that? You're blind if you don't. In the time of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And this kingdom will not pass into the hands of another race. It will shatter and absorb all the previous kingdoms. That's a very important statement. It will shatter, which means it will conquer and destroy all the previous nations. And it will absorb the people of those previous nations into itself so that, as we read on, shatter and absorb all the previous nations and itself last forever. Just as you saw the stone, untouched by hand, break from the mountain and shatter iron, bronze, earthenware, silver, and gold, the great God has shown the king what will take place. The dream is true. The interpretation exact. In this dream of Nebuchadnezzar, where is the great tribulation? Where are the trumpets? Where are the beasts? Where are the bulls of wrath? Where are the two witnesses? Where are they?
I take it that is a rhetorical question. They're not there.
They're not there. What that dream has foretold and revealed is that there will be a stone that will determine the end. I do find it interesting that Tim Clement has a prophecy where he said that God told him, my stone, my special stone. He didn't tell Tim Clement anything about the stone other than basically what it would do. So, you know, Kim was trying to figure out what the stone, who the stone was or what the stone was. I wondered if, well, is it, could it be Roger's stone or could it be the stone that David had in the sling and the big giant was the globalist, I don't know. But, you know, in my mind, I would say, I know where there's a stone, and I know how it's involved with what's happening now. And it could be that the stone that Tim Clement was talking about was the stone in Daniel 2. I'm not saying it is, I'm just saying, you know, it could be. I know that Tim Clement had talked about, he kept seeing two letters, Donald Trump presidency and Sony. He kept seeing two letters. He saw a Q and an A, and he didn't know what Q and an A was. Questions and answers, when he didn't know what Q and A was. But as soon as I heard what he said about that, I thought, Q and Anonymous. And all you hear about today now is QAnon. It isn't QAnon. It's Q
and
Anonymous, which is shortened to Anons. So here in the sixth trumpet, we have a lot of information. From the information that I have, I surmise that, and what I've been told is that the globalists were trying to start Armageddon because they know which reality they're in. They have the quantum AI computers, looking glass, yellow cube. They have all of this stuff. Well, the yellow cube's nothing more than a Ouija board. Ouija boards can sometimes be accurate. All it is a doorway to invite the evil demons and whatever have you else in. And those evil demons do not play fair, and they do not play nice. So it's interesting to me that that parenthetical verse is there, because what it says is exactly what it means. I shall come like a thief. Happy is the man who has stayed awake and not taken off his clothes, so that he does not go out naked and expose his shame. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. And we'll start with verse 42. What are the three words that start verse 42? So stay awake. Now, what were the three words or two words in the sixth bowl about this man?
Stay awake. By the way, in the New American Standard, it is therefore be on alert. Same thing.
Be on, just don't be off.
That's right.
Because you do not know the day your master is coming. Now, isn't that like a thief? Isn't that what it says in the sixth trumpet? Come like a thief. Behold, I come like a thief. You may be sure of this, that if the householder had known at what time of night the burglar had come, he would have stayed awake and would not have allowed him to burrow through the wall of his house. Therefore, you too stand ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who is the Son of God saying this to? His disciples, right? He's sitting there, Mount of Olives, telling his disciples, because they asked him. They said, tell us about the end of the world. So he did. He's telling his disciples, at the end of the world, is he going to have disciples? Well, if he doesn't, all is lost. If he doesn't, all is lost. And these disciples at the end of time, the end of days, who's their teacher? Question. Who's their teacher? The same one who taught these disciples. Well, the Son of God said that he was telling his disciples everything his Father told him to say. So it all comes from the Father. And when he went back to the Father, he says, I'm going to send you another helper. In reality, the Father is still teaching, but the Holy Spirit is the one who's giving the understanding. And but the words are coming from the pages of what Matthew and John heard. And we know that if you believe in Almighty God, but you say you can't trust whether the words in Matthew and John are the same ones that his son told him, then you have to explain how Almighty God is not able to preserve those words when he says that he does preserve his words, no matter what. And why would he send his son 2,000 years ago with a testimony that really applied to the end of time? If he couldn't or wouldn't preserve the words of his son from when he spoke them to the end of time, then he should have waited until the end of time to send his son so that you'd be sure that you got it right from his mouth. But then, would he be God? Well, what did his son come to do? To testify to the truth, right? And who does the truth apply to? Everyone from when his son said it until the end of time. So he had to come then. And what God has said, and he's made no bones about it, the word that comes from my mouth is like that drops into the soil. The rain comes down, the snow comes down, the seed sprouts and grows. It produces more seed. And you know how the cycle goes. The Father says for certain that seed won't come back to me without first accomplishing the purpose for which it was sent. So when he says that if you live in my word, you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, the truth will make you free.
And incidentally, make you free, not set you free.
Okay, so verse 49. What sort of servant then is faithful and wise enough for the master to give him for the master to place him over his household to give them their food at the proper time?
That's verse 45.
45. Happy the servant of his master. Happy that servant if his master's arrival finds him at this employment. I tell you solemnly, he will place him over everything he owns. But as for the dishonest servant who says to himself, my master's taking his time, and sets about beating his fellow servants and eating and drinking with the drunkards, his master will come on a day he does not know or expect, and an hour he does not know. The master will cut him off and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what I would like you to see is Revelation 16. And I believe that this is verse 14 and 15. This is how it will be. I shall come like a thief. Happy is the man who has stayed awake and not taken off his clothes. So the taking off his clothes is saying in his heart, my master's not coming for a long time. I'm going to hang my robe up for now. And when it looks like he's about ready to come, I'll take it down, put it on again. The problem for this individual arises when his master shows up and his robe is still hanging in the closet. He's naked. See, this is the same type of language that was used by God in the garden when the man and the woman were hiding in the bushes. And when he called to them and they answered, and he said, hey, why are you hiding? And they go, well, we were naked and ashamed. You see, he came and what did he do? He found them naked. And what did he know? Why they were naked. He says, who told you you were naked? The sixth bowl of wrath is never going to happen. Nor the fifth, nor the fourth, nor the third, nor the second, nor the first. Because there are two realities, just like there were in the garden, the paradise of God. If the man and the woman had not eaten from the tree, who knows what we would be doing now, if he'd even be around. But they did. And we know what happened. But like I started out this study today, I said every moment that comes along, we determine the next moment. We determine what we will do the next day. We determine the future. And this individual will determine the future if he keeps his robe on and has it on when his master returns.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for taking a listen today. I encourage you to do your own research, get your Bibles out, go back and listen to this again and think about these things. We also encourage you to tell your neighbors and friends about us. And if you find any interest, just give them our...
Even your relatives,
exactly. Give them our Blog Talk Radio website, and our regular website is spiritoftruthministry.net. Easy to remember. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis, hoping that you will be here next Friday, 10 a.m., for another edition of the Bible on Trial, and a week from today, for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus. We wish you a happy Sabbath, and see you all next time.